Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're continuing to make our way through this blessed time in the church year between celebration of our Lord's Passion, His resurrection. We're moving toward the Ascension and then the celebration of Pentecost. And you see the beautiful reality of what God has accomplished. Jesus dealing with the powers of sin and death, dying on a cross for us, and giving an example to us as well about where human life, what expression of human life is the highest possible. Like, what is full success and like the most meaningful life that a person could have? How is that expressed? And Jesus expressed it on the cross. And there's a lot of people trying to figure out what the meaning of life is and what the genuinely good life is and what it means to be a success in this life. And from the cross, Jesus communicates that to us. It's a sign of contradiction because it doesn't look like success. That's one of the things, clearly, that's a stumbling block for people. But it is if you understand what he's doing, who is the eternal perspective as well, that allows us to look back at the meaning of what Jesus did, that he humbled himself, becoming obedient. That little phrase. If you say, what's the meaning of life? Well, at the core of your life and mine, the fundamental intention of the heart and the will, the mind, is to humble ourselves. Why? And to become obedient. Those are two tough words that people generally don't warm up to in our culture. But Jesus is showing that no, this is the perfect way. This is the first way. This is the highest way. This is the most meaningful way. And he's humbling himself, becoming obedient to God the Father. He's entrusting his life into the hands of the Father. And what he's doing is he's loving the Father. As he's told us so many times, and we can't talk about it enough on this program or just in our lives, that the love language of heaven, God is the one who defines love, what love is. He's love itself. God is love. But he's divine love. He's not the love that we make up here on earth and is, you know, seen as just kind of an equivalent expression. No, Jesus came to specifically live it out and demonstrate it for us and show us the power of that kind of love that is surrendering to the will of God, who is all good, absolutely trustworthy, completely committed to our good, and he's showing us the path. And Jesus said, you can't get there unless you follow me. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Everyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if we don't know the best life that can be lived on this earth, or what the fundamental good is, and the most spectacular way we can live it in the most meaningful way, if we don't know that, we're walking in darkness. We're not seeing the purpose and the design for which we were made. Jesus made it absolutely clear. We don't have to read it in a book. We can behold the Lord, behold the man. And he's telling us with his arms spread wide, this is what love looks like. It's humble obedience, saying a profound, total yes to God. And so that act of love absolutely changed everything forever. And it made possible in Jesus rising from the dead. The Father raises his faithful Son. He rises from the dead. We'll be set, as I said, we'll be celebrating the Ascension here not too long from now. And he enters heaven with a human body, the Son of Mary, the God-man, the second Adam. All things are made new now. The human race has a new future. The human race has the ultimate future. And the only good eternal future is with God forever. And then at the right hand of the Father, Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son pour out the Holy Spirit. The Spirit proceeds from their relationship. And the church is born of that love, of the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's an unstoppable, indestructible power. It's the power that's already won, has always won, and always will win, to put it in kind of earthly language. There's battles on this earth, conflicts between the kingdoms. The devil's going to have a few moments before the whole show is over. Our lives are being contested for. But friends, at the end of the day, God's plan, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been exalted, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And the hope for the world, the plan of salvation, the extension of the kingdom of God, the only hope there is, the only ultimate hope there is, everything else will pass away and can't get it done. It's now moving in history, the kingdom of God in the body of Christ, in the church. And we've been reading and seeing what that unfolding looks like, and particularly looked like in the lives of the apostles. Peter and John, we've been walking through Acts over the last few weeks, and I hope you've had a chance to tune into the program. If not, you could just download the Renewal Ministries app, and you can listen to our programs at your leisure, whatever is most convenient for you, because some of these radio shows are on very early in the morning, so not everybody's up that early. So I'm back to chapter 5 of Acts, and again, we're going to kind of review the encounter there, the situation in which Peter and John go forth after the day of Pentecost. The Christian community is beginning to grow. They go to the temple. They see a crippled man at the beautiful gate entry of the temple. He's begging. Peter doesn't have any money. He says, I don't have any money, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. So this man was crippled for 35 or 40 years. He's walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. He's overwhelmed. He doesn't know Peter. He just heard this name, Jesus. Peter speak it, and then a crowd gathers, and all the men in the temple and women in the temple are gathering around Peter and John and thinking, who are these guys? And then Peter makes it clear that, hey, it's not my piety or not my personal power that's done this, but this man now is healed right in front of your eyes by the name, through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And so he's preaching right in the temple, as we've been talking about that, because there's a lot of confusion today in the church, even some high leaders in the church, as I mentioned last week, saying, you know, Catholics should never basically share the gospel or evangelize Jewish people. They don't need Jesus as their savior. They have their own path, that kind of thing. And that's silly. You could just see how the whole church unfolded. A Jewish savior, a Jewish Messiah died for the salvation of the world. He came first to the people of Israel. He spoke and preached in the temple, in the synagogues, and healing signs and wonders accompanied him wherever he went. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out after his sacrifice and his resurrection and ascension, and the apostles are filled with the very power that was in the person of Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead. They go forward and they go right to the brothers and sisters in the Jewish community in Jerusalem and begin to speak about Jesus. And then they get before the leadership, and the leadership is saying, stop. The religious leaders, the council of Israel, they're saying, stop talking about him in his name. And Peter, we talked about, said, no, we can't but speak of him. And then once again, they're arrested. They go out. First, they prayed after they got released from the religious leaders. They go back and they gather as a small community, and they're thanking the Lord for the rejection that they experienced, and they pray for boldness. So there's no sense in them like something has gone wrong, like God has abandoned them or something, because they're being rejected and despised and punished. So they go right back out and start preaching. At a certain point, they're arrested. Peter and John are arrested and thrown in jail. And then an angel comes in the middle of the night, opens up the jail, and tells them, now go back out into the temple and start preaching about this life. This life. Christianity is what? It's a new life. It's the God life, the Christ life. It's the life of the Holy Spirit given to human beings. That's why Paul will teach so eloquently in Ephesians that we've been brought from death to life. So Christianity and its essence is new life. I just did a few weeks ago a YouTube video on it. What is the essence of Christianity? You can find that on our YouTube channel. It's short, 12 minutes, but I just focus on that theme in particular. So there they are. They go right back out into the temple area, the very place where they were arrested, where they were warned, where they were told, don't ever do this again. Well, they're right back there doing it again. Why? Because they're living in obedience. They're humbling themselves and living in obedience to the command of the Lord. They know they're ambassadors for Christ. That's the whole point of life. And that what they have is the best news any Jewish person, despite the fact they don't understand it, they might find it even a little offensive or whatever. It's the best possible news Peter can bring and John can bring to their Jewish brethren. And so that's precisely what they do. And so once again, they're arrested and they're brought back in front of that leadership again. And here's what they say to him. We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So they're heated. Not only are they mad because Peter's not listening, but now you're getting a crowd, you're getting a following, and people are beginning to say, yeah, this man was unjustly crucified. And so they're nervous about it. But here's Peter's response. It's not a political response. It's not a self-serving response. It's not a self-protective response. Peter says this, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. But God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Again, just these few verses, friends, from verse 29 to 32 is the summary of the central message of the preaching of the church. What is the church? You say, what is the church most meant to do, to speak about, to preach about? What's her core message? What is it that she's being sent across the whole world now over the last 2,000 years to proclaim, to declare, to announce, to invite people to respond to? This is a summary. I'm going to read it again. I touched on this even last week, but I'm repeating it again this week for this reason, because it's critical for us to understand. It's so easy to get confused about what the church is. You know, the church is, you know, we exist to just live the Sermon on the Mount, keep our mouths shut and live the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is a very important part of the Christian life, but it's not an either or. People aren't going to get to the Sermon on the Mount. They're not going to open their hearts to the Sermon on the Mount and really give their lives to that Sermon on the Mount lifestyle until they meet Jesus Christ as Lord, the way Peter's preaching it. So here's Peter again. To the religious leaders, the experts, and those who had all the power, Peter made it clear, for a disciple, all of us, we must obey God. We know you have authority, but your authority is not above the Lord's, and we know who the Lord is. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Yes, you did kill him. They were involved in killing Jesus. They weren't the only ones, but they were definitely involved. And you notice Peter says, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So who are we talking about? We know precisely who we're talking about, Peter says. And he said, but this God, our God, has exalted him. He raised him from the dead. He's at the right hand of God now. And he's leader and savior, or he's Lord in Christ. Another place where Peter describes it. And he says, why? Why is he there? To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Yes, Israel needs repentance and forgiveness of sins just like everyone else on the planet needs it. And Jesus is the one that gives it. He's the only place it can be found. So yes, you know, to those in the church who are teaching otherwise, yes, Jewish people need to come to know their Messiah, Jesus Christ, as Lord and to receive salvation like anyone else. And he says, and we're witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. And for that, what ends up happening is the apostles are beaten and they're charged to not speak in the name of Jesus ever again. And they leave after getting beaten with rods, rejoicing that they were beaten for the gospel. May we have that boldness and courage and love. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.